Well, good morning to you all, and let me welcome you as we join together this morning for our worship together. As we begin, of course, I just want to express our thanks for your kindness over the past number of days in the light of the passing of my mum. We appreciate your prayers and your support in so many ways, and not least in these circumstances. We'll say something more when at another appropriate time, but for this moment, I just wanted to convey our thanks as our family, but also the wider family, and do pray as we join together and make arrangements for the funeral, and that we'll know wisdom for all that we need to do for the days ahead. So thank you again for your kindness. But interestingly, I think it's quite apposite that we actually have come to this juncture in the book of Ecclesiastes, as we share together. We've themed it Watching Time, and there is no doubt that some of the things that we will explore and talk about have resonance in terms of life, its brevity, and as we come and go. So may God help us as we share together this morning, and as we help each other in our worship together. I want to read some verses from a psalm as we commence together, and then we'll have our opening hymn. And the verses are from Psalm 90. You have received the order of service, so you will know that, and you can look them up if you haven't got them open already. And Psalm 90, verses 10 through to 12, are verses that actually are echoed here in the book of Ecclesiastes. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Well, great lessons even in those verses, if we said nothing else this morning. But we will say some more things, and in a moment we'll continue in prayer and also reading the scriptures. But we're going to have our first hymn, and we're going to sing Behold Your God. And Jenny will be playing, and Kay will be leading us as we sing that hymn together. It's a great hymn, and it just puts in place who the Creator God is, and may we reflect seriously upon those things and join, though, in a celebration of praise as well. Behold Your God.
Can question every of His word.
Well, we come to do exactly that this morning. We come to adore the King. We come to worship the living God, and we continue to do that as we pray together. So let me lead us as we seek the living God. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning as the one and only true God. We thank you that as we begin another week, setting this day aside for the purpose of worshipping you, of resting in your word, and of equipping ourselves in truth. We want to thank you that in your word we have every reminder of your character, that your steadfast love never ceases, that your mercies never come to an end, that those mercies are new every morning, and that your faithfulness is great. We do realize that there are days and weeks when we may live in turmoil and confusion, but do bring us this morning to this solid rock of your love, steadfastness, and great faithfulness. Lord Jesus, we trust that we are those who are able to acknowledge this morning that you are our King. You did give your life on that cross that we might be liberated and set free and released from the principle of sin and its dire consequences. We thank you that you were raised from the dead, and so you have guaranteed that all those who are your followers will know that truth, that we too, after death, will be raised to be with you in heaven. Lord Jesus, we thank you that today, this moment, that you are in the heavens, and as we face the challenge of the day, you are the one who always lives and makes intercession for us. What joy we have that even in our failure to know that King Jesus is the one that sticks closer than any brother. Lord, we honor who you are today. Give us a greater thirst and appetite to know and love you. Lord, we do pray for us as a church family. You know all about us, and you know the sort of week we've had as we sit and view this service at this moment. For some, there have been days of great anxiousness. For others, there have been a deal of confusion. For some, there have been days of paralyzing doubt. Others, it's been stress that is nearly overwhelmed. Lord, you know each and every one of us, so come and be that balm, be that comfort, and be that help. There are those who are looking ahead, and the week that is before us holds some degree of question. An issue needs to be resolved. A health crisis is still unchecked. A relationship needs to be repaired. Oh Lord, give us strength to do the right thing. And may we, if we know Christ, learn to trust you in every moment. Lord, whatever our experience, whether it's positive or negative, help us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our request be made known to God, and that we may know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Our Father, we do pray that you will continue to give us wisdom in all we do in the church and as we contemplate a return to it, and maybe begin to open up further areas of work in the months ahead, that we'll be ready to meet the need, that we will be anticipating what will it mean to share the good news in our community and neighbourhood. We pray that you will stir our spirits, that when things are a little more normal, that we will be seeking to know your mind and ready to do your will as we serve, work and worship in this community around the church. Again, we pray for other parts of the world, and we would remember the work of the Slavic Gospel Association. Pray for Mark Foster and the others who are, despite the restrictions, endeavouring to encourage the church in various parts of Europe, where there are many challenges to the evangelical church and also in preaching the gospel. Lord, we pray that as things ease and as various workers re-engage, that there will be the witness to the church growing and expanding in the various areas of Europe that SGA are witnessing within. Lord, come, we pray. Lord, we pray for local churches also. We remember the work at Ebenezer on Queen's Drive. We thank you for the team there, and as they seek to share in the worship, we thank you for the witness that has been on that road for many, many generations. And we ask that you'll help them as they endeavour to reinvigorate the work, that you will encourage them. We think of the recent loss of in the leadership of a long-term elder who's gone to be with you. Lord, we pray that the fellowship will know comfort, but also that there is a work to be done, and that there may be those who will be encouraged to do it. We commend them to you. And so, gracious God, we now pray that you will help us as we share in the teaching of the Bible. Help us to hear what you are saying. Lord, touch our hearts, our heads, and our minds, that we'll be responsive to you. And we ask all of these things in and through the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, in a moment or two, we're going to have our reading, and Graham's going to come and do that. But let me just say one or two things. First of all, next Sunday evening, we have a Zoom service with Michael Cornell. Do look out for the links, and we will get them to you, and you'll be able to join with us, and we look forward to that. Next Sunday morning, we are planning to have ministry from Sidney Elliott. He sent us some ministry a few months ago, and we're going to put together a service that we'll be able to use at 11 o'clock and the usual site as we share together as a congregation next Sunday morning. There had been the plan to be back in person, but that's been now put back, excuse me, and we will aim to be back in person on the 14th of March. So we look forward to that, but in the meantime, that service will be with Sydney for the 7th, and please do be remembering that and sharing together in it. That's everything we're going to say just now. Graham's going to come and he's going to read the scriptures, and you can follow as he does that. Thank you.
The reading this morning is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceived that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceived that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been, that which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. Amen.
Well, the section that Graham has just read to us is probably quite well known in the church and among those that have a familiarity with the Bible. But also, I think some of the verses that were read will have a familiarity outside those that have any knowledge of Scripture. There are certain texts that will be quoted and used in all sorts of areas. A time of peace and a time of war, not least, is one that will be used in different contexts. But within those verses, we have this pulsing beat, particularly verses 1 to 8, which identifies a time for this and a time for that. So in the normal course of events, we have a series of verses that just seem to identify what the experience of life looks like. That's the design of the verses. There are negatives and positives. But it poetically, dramatically, and rhythmically captures the totality of life from birth to death, and everything in between. There's a circularity about life as you move from one thing to another. And I guess we could all look at those things. There are some verses that seem a little strange, but I guess most of them will be able to understand that all of those times we've had some degree of experience of. What we're going to do this morning, just for a few moments, is consider the passage under 2 points. And perspective is everything. That's why we've themed it Watching Time. Perspective will be king in as much that the same thing is faced in each point. That's time. But how do you understand time? And to see it with God and to see it outside of God. Those are our 2 points. So the first point is verses 1 to 8, time. Under the sun, the tyranny of time. So that's time outside of God, with no framework of God, with no appreciation of God, just living our lives. And there are a number of things about time that we all know to be true. Firstly, we can't control it. I came across this quote the other day. The bad news is that time flies. The good news is that you are the pilot. So time ticks, but you control it. You are the one that's in charge. Now, that might feel like the case at some points in our lives. We feel we've got everything under control. The diary is well ordered, the clock ticks by, but we've got everything pigeonholed in the right place at the right time. So it might feel that we have the control, but I think what this poetic section highlights and is detailing in the nature of life is that again and again, though we might think that we have everything under control, there are so many variables as to realize that it cannot be the case in all situations. It does go out of control. And we do have those moments where we just don't know what to do next, and we can't control time. Nor can we stop time. You know the phrase, don't you? Time and tide wait for no man or woman. There's the inexorable ticking of the clock. The story goes of King Canute, which I guess you may well know, of him being taken down to the coastline and endeavouring to halt the tide. Let's stop the tide coming in. Well, it was a non-starter. It came in and it covered the throne. Apparently, what he wanted to show to his courtiers, who had great respect for him, that there was a limitation of his power, of his control and rule. He could do a lot, but nature runs its course, and he is impotent, a mere man in the face of the inevitable. Of course, depending on what we're doing, time can go very slowly. I guess we've all been on the car journey if we've got a family, and we've all been on the car journey when you get the question, are we there yet? And you say no, and then 5 minutes later, the same question is repeated, are we there yet? It's as if that clock, when you're very young, it does go very slowly, doesn't it? And in journeys like that, it seems even more so. But then there are other occasions, it's as if we don't have enough hours in the day, a deadline to meet, and we're rushing here or there, trying to ensure everything is done to fulfill the time constraint. And you know the feeling when that's happening, every traffic light is red. You're journeying along, you've got to be somewhere, and sure enough, the next one turns red just as you get there. In 70 years, if you're granted them, you will have 613,200 hours. The search engine produced that for me. I didn't bother to try and calculate of those hours how many we would sleep. But the point being, there is a finite time that we have. And he encapsulates that, doesn't he, in that verse. There is a time to be born and there is a time to die. And for many today, they've concluded, well, that's it, that's the end. Everything's done. That's just life, the tyranny of time, under the sun, nothing else. And the preacher, Solomon, wants us to understand that instead of being freed by time, instead of thinking that we have a limited lifespan, so just let's enjoy it, time itself dictates the pattern, the experience, and the end. And so this idea of enjoying this life that we've got this moment, there may be pleasure and there may be all sorts of things, but there's this limitation, and actually, Solomon says, time controls your whole life and not you controlling the time. There is a tyranny of it. That's life under the sun. That's life without God. That's how he presents it. And in some way, that's the logic. Because if there's nothing else, if that's all there is, then we've got all of these things, good and bad they may be, and really that's the sum total of everything that we have. Well, the preacher wants to paint another picture about time, and that's the second thing in verses 9 to 15, because under God, there is the beauty of time. You see, there's another tune being played out here in this rhythm of life. There's still uncertainty. There's still the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen next. But in this perspective, the preacher is aware that anything can happen and does happen. But there's a focus on the reality that God is the order and the author of time. At creation, he sets the days and the nights. He puts everything in place, and it's all good. There is a, as it were, a ticking clock right at the beginning, which God winds up and sets in place. Now, he's not the God that winds the clock up and then just merely watches this dark, dumb show, as I think one of the authors put it. Rather, he may have put together all of these things, but he is integrated and he's part of all that is taking place. So even in a fallen, sinful, warped state, the world is still in the control of a holy God. He's the one that is the beginning and the end. He's the one that can claim that he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that knows absolutely everything. When Jesus was living in this world and ministering within it, and working among his creation as the God-man, he was able to function and know either his hour had not yet come or that his hour had come. What was his hour? Of course, his hour was his death. Jesus was born into the world at a determined time, in a determined place, in a determined country. Similarly, his death was in the fullness of time. The church was established at a particular time in world history and in world order. The Roman Empire stretched from north, south, east, and west. The borders were open. There were no controls. And the gospel traveled throughout the empire, the biggest empire, and the good news of Jesus traveled all of those areas, not least this country. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, came in a relatively short space of time. And it was God's timing and God's purpose. There was a moment that he had put in place. Now, King Solomon didn't know all of that when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. It speaks about the beauty of time. But he can still write with confidence that if God orders time, then it is a beautiful thing. Because he is sovereign, he is unthreatened, and he's unrestricted. So in this perspective, there can be a delight, because he says as much, in the gifts that he's given. If you see in verse 13, also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. Now, if you remember, was it last week or the week before, we talked about the fact that work in and of itself just became a drudgery. But here he's calling it a delight. Why? Because, of course, work has its place. It has its position. It is important, but seeing it as what God has given, that we can delight and be satisfied in the toil of our hands and have the pleasure of that which is produced, because we have God at the center of every element. Now, knowing that we can delight in this work and delight in the toil of our hands, it's not to say then that there's nothing better and that we also just merely live for the here and now, but rather it is to recognize the giver of all those things that could easily be taken for granted. That all the things that we have are not down to our work and our expertise. It's God that has blessed us. We recognize a great benefit, don't we, of the scientific mind that has brought us the vaccine, the skill set that is involved in making sure that we have that which is going to assist in the challenge that the world faces. But we should come, not in an arrogant way, not because we're any better, but we should come with praising hearts to the living God, who's the one that grants that expertise, that gives that wisdom, that helps the mind and the ability, and that we can rejoice in the provision and blessing and give thanks for his goodness and gracious mercy. And I think, and this is what the preacher is doing, that to have such a mindset of is a truly liberating thing. You see, the unpredictability of life is still to be faced. The hospital is still to be visited. The trauma is still to be confronted. The grey side is still to be stood beside. We may not have all the answers to suffering. The suffering that we face, maybe even day by day. But we can come and know that, as the psalmist tells us, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors." You see, the one that sets the stars in space, that placed the planets in their orbit, is then the one whom our lives are entrusted to. So little wonder the hymn writer is able to pen, and we may have sung it, "Our times are in thy hand, O God, I wish them there. Our lives, our souls are all we leave, entirely to thy care. Our times are in thy hand, Jesus the crucified, whose hand our many sins have pierced, is now our guard and guide." It is a wonderful thing to be able to say that our time is in God's hands. There's the comfort, there's the joy, there's the liberation, there's the freedom. You see, the lie of the devil, as we come to a conclusion this morning, the lie of the devil is that you too are enjoy the time that you have. Just fill your life with things and experience the liberty of all that you do. Nobody's going to hold you back. There's no constraints. Don't harm anybody else, but throw yourself into your life and enjoy all that you've got for the time that you have got. But the preacher says, actually, this is bondage. This is restrictive. This is just a small mindset that sees just the moment that we're living in. And that's all there is. If you are to know true freedom, then you need to come under the wisdom of God, because there is true liberty, life in the hands of the watchmaker and the timekeeper. And that's God. So maybe this morning, as we come to a conclusion, maybe this morning you're still living your life under the sun. It's just day by day, going through the motions, doing what you're doing. There's some days of great pleasure and enjoyment, and other days of great sadness and despair. It's just life. It ticks on, ticks on, ticks on. Maybe that's what your life is like today. Well, can I call you, like the preacher calls here, to a better way? To a more liberating way? To come under the wing of God? To recognize that we're sinners and we need a Savior, and in so doing, coming to Christ and, as it were, saying, "Here's my life, so my time is in your hands." And right then, the living God, King Jesus, becomes the focus and the perspective. And what we see around us and what we're involved in, with all the questions and still the thrills and the spills, is to know that there is God right at the heart and the pulse of our lives, liberating us, freeing us, and giving us a future and a hope. And that's what we need to know. And so may you know it this morning, and may I know it too. And that day by day we'll hear the pulsing beat in the rhythm of life, but the great tune that is being played that says, "God is King," and may he be King of your life today. Well, we have come to a conclusion, but we're going to sing in a few moments. Let me just pray first of all, and then we'll sing as we come to the end of the service. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we do want to praise and thank you this morning that you are the God of time. You are before time. You are the eternal one. There was never a time when you weren't, and there's never going to be a time when you won't be. You are at the heart of everything. And so we pray that we will each be able to say, "Well, my life, my time is in your hands." Lord, help us to know that great truth, and enable us as we share together and as we recognize your work within our hearts. Lord, help us, we pray, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we come to an end, it is a well-known hymn. We've sung it any number of times. It's hard to think that this hymn, In Christ Alone, it's just 20 years since it was authored, but I guess over those 20 years, in many contexts, it's been sung at different times, and we're singing it this morning. So do it, sing that, and know that your life is in the hands of King Jesus, In Christ Alone. Well, as we come to an end, and as I close in prayer in a moment, let me remind you of next Sunday as we have Sydney sharing with us, and then, God willing, the Zoom evening meeting as we share together. Do join us for that if you can. But let me pray as we come to a conclusion. Loving Heavenly Father, we do want to praise and thank you that you are the author and King of all things, and we rest ourselves in you, our King and our Redeemer. Lord, be with us now, we pray. Watch over us as we go about the day ahead and the week ahead. Give us wisdom in the decisions that we take, and we pray that you will be the order of our lives. Lord, grant us your help, and we will pray all of these things in Jesus' name and for your sake. Amen. Amen.